Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
I'm Robbie Knox, and I'm the landlord of The Moon Underwater, a mystical place where guests create their dream pub. Hello and welcome back to The Moon Underwater. We are here with Tatty McLeod creating her dream pub. And before the break, Dan, you were giving us a cheese quiz.
Yeah, my cheese quiz.
Cool. This is the first moment you've turned on me underwater. You were giving us a cheese quiz.
Oh. I'll wait for the next one, yeah. Yes, it's called Sheep, Goat or Cow. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you the name of a cheese. You have to tell me whether the milk for that cheese... from a sheep, goat, or a cow.
Interesting.
Okay. So, number one, Port Salut.
I think I know what this cheese is.
Okay.
Yeah. So it looks like, it kind of looks like a camembert.
It's got the orange rind.
It's got the orange rind, yep. Exactly. I don't know. I've done.
I'm going to say sheep. But I don't know anything about cheese, so don't let that influence you in any way.
No, this is it. I don't want to influence you. Okay. I'm going to go with... I mean, that's how pretentious I was. I was like, I can't say it until Robbie says because he's going
to
steal my answer.
Yeah. We'll take turns to go first.
Yeah. I don't know what the answer is, but I'm going to go with cow.
Okay. Well, it's 1-0 to Tatty. It is cow.
Are they all cow?
They're not all cow. There is a mixture. Back in 1816, the Abbey of Port Salut, the monks there created this delicious cheese. And it was so delicious that in Paris, when they came in to sell their cheese, they had a special flag that went up to say that the cheeses have arrived.
Stop laughing at this.
I think it's great. I'm not laughing at these. Amazing.
That is amazing.
We take cheese very seriously.
Yeah.
I got gifted a cheese box from a lovely cheesemonger in Hackney called Provisions Hackney. And I had it in my fridge over Christmas. And it was one of those ones where it's proper cheese, sort of cheese where you cut into it once and then after that it's just damage control from a sponge.
I thought you could say damage control is you're just going to eat the whole thing.
Well, yeah. It was too much. Like right. There was one that was like a truffle soft cheese. Mm. It was really intense. And I've never felt more French when I overheard my flatmate open the fridge and just go, oh my fucking God. What is that smell? I had to be like, sorry.
That's my cheese.
That's my brother Werner.
Amazing. Okay, it's 1-0.
Wonderful.
Roquefort. I love Roquefort.
Yeah.
It's very what nice. Is Roquefort?
Because that's the same as a blue cheese, basically.
It's a blue cheese.
And I don't know that it's any different to any other blue cheese. Blueness coming from... the mould.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to know the legend of Roquefort?
Yes, please.
So the legend is that there was a boy who was eating his cheese and he saw a beautiful girl in the distance. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, I'm going to have to leave it there. I'm going to have to leave my cheese and go after this girl. And he left it in the cave. And then when he returned a few months later, the mould had transformed his cheese into roquefort.
You'd be having a great time with the girl. You've been away for 3 months.
Exactly. Is it bad that I'm really invested in that relationship?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel like, is it important? Does he come back engaged? Has he just been dumped? Is like the moral behind the story, like, never abandon your cheese in favour of a girl, like, cheese first, girl second?
Maybe she broke up with him because he couldn't make good cheese. Yeah. And he won her back with what he found
with
in the
cave. With the roquefort, definitely, yeah.
Sheep.
Yeah, yeah. You're going for sheep?
Oh, you're sheep. They said that with so much confidence. Mm.
It's blind optimism. It's just, yeah. I said sheep before, I think.
Okay.
And I'm just going to, one of them's going to be
sheep.
You're
always doing that, aren't you? Yeah.
One of them's going to be sheep.
I'm going to go with cow.
Robbie's equalised.
Oh.
I almost said ewe's milk cheese.
You didn't say ewe. That's what I thought you said.
I'm an idiot.
That's what I thought.
You, oh.
That's what made me say sheep.
Yeah.
So I've only won that because of his stupidity rather than any.
Yes, I did hear you, but didn't know that.
I know, I thought, have I covered it? Yeah. Okay. Pecorino Romano.
Ooh.
Pecorino Romano. So that's Parmesan.
Kind of like that's a staple in the diet for the legionnaires of ancient Rome.
Legionnaires of ancient Rome. Mm-hmm.
I feel goat's an ancient animal. Goat's an ancient animal.
Because I'm thinking of Cleopatra, I'm thinking of goat's milk baths. Yeah, maybe goat.
We'll both go goat.
You're both wrong. It's sheep.
Sheep.
Oh. Sheep. Yeah.
I say sheep.
Pecorino means ovine or off sheep. So there you go.
There you go, indeed.
Okay.
So Romano means Roman.
Roman, yes.
Roman sheep is the name of this.
Doesn't sound as good, does it?
Yeah.
Look at this fancy thing. Wait, Roman sheep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Picodon. Well, it's one all. Picodon.
So can we get the spelling on that, please?
P-I-C-O-D-O-N. Am I saying that right?
P-I-C-O-D-O-N. P-I-C-O-D-O-N.
Yes.
Picodon. Okay, so what's that, Italian?
It's French. It is French.
Have you got a romantic story?
It's made around the Rhone Valley. The name means spicy in Occitan, which is a sort of a language that is spoken in southern France and in Catalan.
Well, I'm going to go for goat because we've not had a goat yet.
Yeah.
And that feels...
I hadn't thought about it, but now I also want to say goat because we haven't had a goat.
I don't know what that word, I don't know what that means in French. So that must be, I don't think it's a word in French. So that must be either the name of a place or...
Well, no, it means spicy in that language.
Which is a bit Spanish.
Yes.
Well, they do like their goat's cheese in Spain. Isn't a manzana...
I don't know
anything
about cheese.
Yes. Isn't a manchego goat?
I think it's sheep.
Sheep, okay. Yeah. I'll go goat.
So you're both going goat?
Yeah.
You're both right.
Oh!
One each, 2-2. So...
Decider.
Baby Bell is the decider.
Oh, I
that's just what I wanted.
Surely it's cow.
Surely
just
it's,
what
that's
I wanted.
What I would go with. Cow.
I'm going to go with cow.
Cow.
So it's either be a draw
because
whatever.
Children have it, and I think they're quite funny about what kind of milk children
hasn't it got
have.
A picture of a cow on it?
Pretty sure, but that doesn't mean anything when it comes to Baby Bell. Like when it comes to products, like what's in a cheese string?
Yeah. I mean, what is in a cheese
string? Tesco sold those burgers that had horses in them, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in France, that's a delicacy. So watch your language.
Yeah. I've got no judgment. I want it back. More horse, please.
You're both correct. Cow. So it's a draw. It's an honourable draw. Three-three.
Dan, some of your quizzes recently have been appalling. That one was excellent.
Thanks, mate.
Really enjoyed that.
Really good title. Not too much lore around it. We understood pretty much from the title exactly what the quiz was going to be.
It's multi-choice, but it's a longer multi-choice of three. It's not just a one.
Didn't drag on, though.
50-50.
Recently, you did one where you just had a random different question at the end that had nothing to do with all the other questions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This was back to basics, and you've smashed it.
Back
Thank
on
you.
Form.
I still think sheep, goat, cow, shag, marry, kill is worth exploring.
Yeah, it is. We can do that after if you want. Yeah.
I would marry the goat. Because I think in a long term setup, you want a goat living with you, not a cow, not a sheep. Cow's too big, not very manoeuvrable around the house,
My only
one more difficult to kill a cow than a goat.
I mean,
cows just look so peaceful.
Yeah. Also,
goats can be annoying.
I don't know how I go about killing a cow. They're massive.
Bullet in the brain, I imagine.
Yeah.
We get weapons. I thought we were just in a room with them. And which one are you going to romance? Which one are you going to kill?
I'm pretty sure. No, because then every time we play Shag, Marry, Kill with any famous person is the idea that we physically
fight. You destroy them.
Maybe this is a male perspective on it.
I don't know. Yeah.
When I'm killing, if I do a Shag, Marry, Kill, you know, Rishi Sunak, Boris Johnson, I'm not thinking to myself, oh, who can I physically fight today?
Yeah. No, okay. Maybe I've got that wrong. Also, I don't think they should all be in the same room. Irrelevant, because in that, again, in that sort of thing, what order are you going to do it in? Because if there's like a corpse in the corner, it's going to put you off.
Yeah.
For sure.
And also...
And a goat's going to be going, why shagging that sheep?
Or in the words of goat. Yeah.
You get two spirits, Tati. What's your first choice?
Well, I put vodka in there because...
if you run out of Smirnoff Ice.
I got the vodka. No, because as a continuation of Smirnoff Ice, it's funny, this is making me reflect on my relationship to any lemonade-flavoured spirit. And it began with Smirnoff Ice, which is lemonade, basically flavoured vodka in a bottle. And then when I went to university, that was when my drinking really kicked off. Because having grown up in a household where there was not really any drinking, and then drinking a bit with like friends and stuff, but not too much. And then I went to university and it was a fucking free-for-all. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, like pub crawls. You used to go round and like alcohol. That first week, I remember just, oh my God, it was a mess. I lost my passport. I lost my handbag twice.
In a week?
In a week.
Wow.
It was so bad.
Where were you at university?
Sussex.
Sussex, okay.
I was living on East Slope with 11 other people. There was a time when I didn't wake up when the fire alarm went off. Even though it was on for so long, the firemen came out. The firemen. This is really bad. So we're talking about pass up, drunk. Yeah, but it's that bit of your life where... Fortunately, I came out of it unscathed, but where you don't know what your limits are at all. You know what I'm saying? Know your limits. Like, I did not know my limits.
You're finding your limits.
I was finding my limits. Yeah. And my drink of choice was vodka lemonade. And I think it was like £2.50 in digital and audio at the time in Brighton for a double. So that was what I used to drink. And now I don't drink vodka anymore. Absolutely can't stand the stuff.
It's a very lemonade heavy pub this so far, isn't it?
I know, it really is.
Lemons. Shandy.
Lemons are very nice.
And I remember actually, so Mike's boyfriend, he was Russian, Eddie. That was the first time that I really experienced. Like, they really do drink vodka in Russia.
Yeah.
Like neat.
In cans when I was there, like a can of Coke.
Really? Vodka. Straight. Yeah. So he was funny because he was German, but with Russian heritage. It's this funny thing where some German people moved to Russia under like one of the Tsars because he married a German woman and she wanted to have Germans in Russia, but they never learned Russian, stayed German the whole time. And then when the war came down, they moved back to Germany. So he was this weird mix of like very German, Bratwurst, Bayern Munich, German, 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 go to his, it was borscht soup, dill everything, beetroot this, and then shots of vodka at the table.
Wow.
And his dad had built a sauna in the garden. So I remember being sat round this Sunday lunch in Germany, just like shotting vodka with his Oma and just being like, Jesus fucking Christ. Oh, I mean, you know, you think it's hard to keep on top of like staying sober around your in-laws. I mean, imagine if what you're drinking is shots of vodka.
Yeah.
You can't be expected to keep sober then.
No.
I think that's their own fault if you do something horrific.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure he's forgiven me now.
It's a great reason to have vodka in your pub.
Yeah.
So I've got vodka in my pub.
Mm. And what's your other spirit going to be?
Oh, pastis. Yeah. I had to put that
in. You brought
it
back to France.
Yeah.
I had to. You know what? First thing I got drunk on, pastis.
Is it?
Oh.
A lot of French kids, because it was always a thing that was left in the cupboard that no one really wants to drink.
I don't really like it.
I don't like it either. It tastes like licorice. It's awful.
It's anise flavoured, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't like licorice. But it's always there.
Yeah.
And there's a rite of passage, I think, for French kids growing up. It's the realisation that you actually can't top up a bottle. You know how you can vodka, finish the bottle, you can top up water. You put that in pastis, it goes cloudy. Mm. So, and we've all been there. And it's like this teenage test. Your parents immediately know you've drunk the pastis because they look at the bottle and it's cloudy.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, who the fuck are you fooling? Yeah, so pastis would be my second one. A little bit of nostalgia.
Do you know anything about pastis then?
Well, first commercialised by Paul Ricard in 1932.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But it sort of became popular because of the big outcry about the evil of absinthe.
Oh, right.
Ah.
So a bit like, I suppose a bit like in in Britain, there was there was sort of the gin panic, yeah, wasn't there? And Hogarth's picture of the gin-soaked, famous picture, yeah, of gin-soaked people. In Europe and also elsewhere, there was a massive thing in the early 20th century about absinthe being, it became associated with violent crime and disorder and stuff. Mm. And there was an incident in Switzerland where a man murdered his family and I think killed himself, and absinthe got the blame.
Mm. But, interesting.
But he'd also drunk quite a lot of beer and brandy, but absinthe was the thing, yeah, there. And it was the absinthe. And so it got banned. It got banned in Switzerland and Belgium and Brazil and the Netherlands, and then France banned it in 1914.
Is absinthe banned in France?
Well, it was then.
Yeah.
And then about 17 years after, pastis was sort of became a thing because people missed having their anise flavoured drink, what? And so it became popular.
It's digestif, isn't it?
Yeah.
But absinthe is really strong, isn't it?
Yeah, it's stronger.
Isn't it like 40%?
Yeah.
The only time I've ever had a night drinking significant amounts of absinthe, I had to tell my friend Sally that her hand was on fire.
Was it on fire?
Yeah.
What?
For some reason, she thought you had to like melt, I think you melt sugar or something in absinthe or something, It looked like she'd been taking heroin. She was like melting sugar on a spoon, but she spilled absinthe down her hand, and when she lit it, and I was just talking to her, and she was holding this, and I was going, Sally, your hand's on fire. She's like, what? Your hand's on fire. She's like, oh, right. So,
was she okay?
She was fine, yeah. But then the next day, she's going, my hand really hurts. I went, yeah, it was on fire last night. Yeah.
Bloody hell. Is eau de vie an absinthe? Water of life?
I don't know.
I feel like it is, because that's always one. I never really drank absinthe, obviously. It sounds terrifying. Mm. And it definitely is like an aura around absinthe. Yeah. But I would say, because if it's about violent crimes, I would say that my absinthe is white wine.
Oh, really?
So you commit most of your crimes.
It's champagne with me.
Champagne. Yeah. So I know that technically champagne is a white grape, and so therefore it should count. But if it's got bubbles in it, I'm sure it counteracts the aggression. There's something for me about white wine, like Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc, whatever. It's just, it brings out the beast in me.
Really?
Can't sleep on it. That's the first thing. Yeah. And
you attack people.
Yeah. Just jealous anger.
Even if it's natural white wine, or does that help?
I haven't even tested it.
Okay.
Just stay away from white wine. Yeah,
really?
It is my, yeah. I remember at the time, my sister was like, but maybe there's something in you that is like needs to come out, and that the white wine is unleashing it.
Mm.
And I was like, but no other alcohol has that impact.
The demon only likes white wine.
Don't feed the wine to the demon.
I think there's a funny sketch in that, the idea of doing this like middle-aged women, like Deborah's, all on a night out, just like Chardonnay werewolves, a couple of glasses in. It's sprouting.
Oh, I love
going on a rampage.
I love white wine. It doesn't make me angry. And champagne makes me the opposite of angry. It makes me delighted at all times.
Well, no, a glass is fine, but if I drink too much of it, yeah.
One Christmas time, my wife was pregnant, and
go on.
I got 6 bottles of champagne, and I drank them one a day in the lead up to Christmas. Oh, my own.
Well, I judge you a bit for that.
Why? In what way?
I mean, it really feels like you were rubbing it in.
I wasn't really. I don't know why I did it. I think I got them, and then it was around sort of Christmas. It might be in between Christmas and New Year, actually.
And
it was in that time
fine.
Where nothing happens.
Yeah.
And I realised that there's 2 ways you can drink a bottle of champagne in a day that work. You can either start in the morning and just drink it casually, and then you're fine.
And then you're
or
fine.
You can just do it in the evening as you would if you're out drinking. Normally,
then you're not.
You can't start about 2 p.m. because then it's too much to just have a slight buzz, but and you just feel a bit sick.
Yeah.
Bit of advice if anyone's trying to drink a bottle of champagne.
If anyone's trying to drink a bottle, that would be completely fine. What I loved is the fact that you let us all know that your wife was pregnant at the time.
I thought
was going to be relevant for the story.
It was more that there was she wasn't drinking, so I didn't have anyone to share it with.
Which is, yeah.
I
think a bottle of, I agree with the champagne, you've got to start it at breakfast in that period over Christmas. Yeah, absolutely. But then you don't really feel like you can make a mimosa. Because you think to yourself, well, I can't cut champagne with orange juice. It feels like too much of a waste.
Mm. Yeah.
So you just end up having straight champagne for breakfast.
Yeah.
Or,
which actually tastes quite nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or I like a Kir. Yeah. IKEA wire. Oh, yeah. That's a nice way to do it. I have that.
Big fan.
I'm going to have some fizzy wine tonight now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just this talk of it now has got me talk excited.
You sure you don't want a glass of Smirnoff Ice? Yeah. You've got that in front of us.
I've got some. I'm just still working my way through this. Yeah. What vintage is it?
Yeah.
2007, the year of Busted, I think it's
right. I do.
Tati, every week our regular here, Dan, asks the listeners for a suggestion of something that could go in our guest's pub. Who have you been talking to today, Dan?
I have been talking to Sarah. My suggestion for Tati's pub is that all seats should be set within a teacup ride and you'd have control of the speed that you're spinning electronically.
Hmm. Thoughts?
Absolutely not.
Do you enjoy fairgrounds?
So should I engage with that in a positive way?
No.
Thank you so much for getting in touch, Sarah. I really want to celebrate you on your originality, but I can't think of anything worse than spinning while drinking.
Yeah, yeah. It does sound bad.
Spinning while drinking. You don't know if you're drunk or if you're just spinning.
But you've got control, so you could spin very slowly.
You know full well that any person... yeah. Any person after one drink is losing control of that spin. We'd all go doolally with it. It would be a free for all. Yeah. It'd be, you know, just not the sophisticated atmosphere I'm looking to create in my pub.
Yeah.
No, it's, yeah, nothing about the idea is good. Like, it's not.
I can't see the positive in it.
That's the last. I like a teacup ride on occasion, but that's the last time I'd want to be in one.
Yeah, definitely within a pub. I mean, I guess it would be like a conversation starter, but then you couldn't keep the conversation going because you'd be spinning.
Yeah. Maybe they can spin their way around to the bar to get served. Yeah. So you don't have to get up.
Would be nice to have one in the pub garden that you get into and it delivers you to the bar.
The idea there being one. That's a good point. Yeah, I think one could be fun. Or maybe you could have one which spins around with like a waiter in the middle, kind of like one of those sushi bits where it's like a conveyor belt.
Mm. Yeah.
That could be fun, but it could be a novelty in the garden, though I don't really want a novelty pub, but you could have a novelty in the garden, but I don't think it could be the standard form. Because I think a pub's really about chatting. I think if you go to a pub, it's because you want to have conversations. So I don't like anything that's too loud. I don't like music that's too loud. I don't like it when it's too busy and too loud. I like it when it's comfortable and you've got enough of a private nook where you can have a good conversation with someone. And I just don't think that's going to be achievable with the teacup spinning machine.
They do play quite loud, irritating music during a teacup ride, don't they?
No, forget it. I'm sorry, Sarah.
Sarah, your idea is roundly rejected. Yeah. If you've got a suggestion for something that could go into a future pub, you can email me, robbie@moonunderpod.com, and we will brutally attack you like we did Sarah.
Oh my God, 100%. Who's going to want to write in now?
Tati, you get to put one thing in the Moon Underwater jukebox. It can be a CD or mini disc of your choosing.
A CD or mini disc?
Yeah, I went in quite hard on mini discs when they came out.
Interesting.
And it's been desperately.
And I'm kind of hoping
they
make a comeback. I've got quite a lot of them.
Yeah. No one's interested, mate.
No. So.
Well, that really makes me feel differently about it because CD. I had initially thought I would go with Stevie Nicks' Belladonna.
Oh.
Because I thought to myself, well, I want something which is going to be, there's enough songs on the album that are a bit like boogie, like if you want to have a bit of a dance, but there's enough melancholy there that you can sort of, there's enough to cover all feelings, a little bit of country music, a little bit of chill vibes, a little bit of something to get you going, nice mix. But hearing you talk about CDs is making me reminisce of the CDs of my childhood. And I think I'd like to have a CD called All Women.
What's it about? Who's on it?
Take a wild guess. Well, it's really weird because I don't know if anyone else had it, but it was a CD called All Women, and on the cover there was a woman.
I recognise it.
Do you recognise it? Like, I'm sure it was on everyone's soundtrack, and it has like Skunk and Anazi. It has Sheryl Crow. It has Aisha's Attic. All the bangers.
I'm going to find this track listing here. Best of All Women. Was that it?
Yeah, that's it. And you can find the track list on Spotify.
Let me find. I'm just going to look up in my mind the track listing.
Yeah, I've got it.
You got it there. Okay, give us the track listing, Dan.
Woman, Nena Cherry, Hedonism, Skunk Anansie, One of Us, Joan Osborne. If It Makes You Happy, Sheryl Crow.
Tune.
Banger. It's All Right, It's Okay, Leah Andreoni. Is that how you say it?
I don't know. Let's pick the highlights. I love PJ that. Harvey, okay. Alicia's Attic, yeah, Gabrielle.
Texas.
Suzanne Vega.
Cardigans. Oh, I love the Cardigans.
Sleeping Satellite, Tamsin Archer. What tune.
Every Tamsin single Archer. Song on that album, you'd be like, even that one, It's All Right. So, it's all right, it's okay.
Great album.
It's a really good album.
Yeah. And that'll fit in well with the feel of your pub.
Yes, yeah, that's perfect for the feel of my pub.
It's good having a compilation album because you get lots of more variety, don't you, in that, yeah.
I didn't think about it, but I'm sorry, Stevie. Cut her out. She's gone. This is the album we're playing in the pub. That's perfect.
So you owned this album?
Yes.
When
Well, my sister owned this album, so okay. I owned it by proxy. So
what does it make you think of? And what sort of time in your life does it make you think of?
It makes me think of dancing in the sitting room. or worse, in the bedroom, in front of the mirror.
Yeah.
to check myself out while I was making my moves.
Which song would you be dancing to the most, would you say, on that?
I like Aisha's Attic.
I don't know which one that is.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I am. I feel.
Oh yeah. That's a great song.
I am. I feel.
I tell you what I was listening to this morning. That's not on this album, but should be. Crush by Jennifer Page.
That's great. A little crush.
I listened to that this morning. Why don't I listen to this all the time?
Yeah,
it's great, great, great.
Yeah, I looked up. See what she's done lately? Not loads. Nothing. Not loads since Crush.
Doesn't need to. She's done
Doesn't
Crush.
Need to, yeah. You've done that. There's no point, is there?
Have you noticed there's a real fashion at the moment on Instagram, or maybe it's just my algorithm, but it keeps popping up performances of these, like they're the Billie Eilishes of the 90s, or Billie Eilish is the now of what they, these... Right. There was one this morning from who's the one who does? Is it Placebo? Portishead, Glory Box.
Yeah.
Like her performance, it's like cigarette in hand and these real kind of like melodic vocals, like such a departure from the hyper stylized performances now. But there's this real trend on Instagram of like reposting or bringing up these 90s performances of all of these like PJ Harvey era of singers.
Yeah, I like it.
I like it too.
Okay, a great choice for the jukebox there.
Thank you, because I'm conscious it's going to the vault, isn't it? So I wanted to make sure.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. There, happy with that?
Very happy. I'm delighted, yeah.
Fantastic.
Absolute tune after tune on there.
My first post-divorce pint, the gin I had in Hull, my nan's homemade buckfast, the rum I drank with Liz Hurley, the lager I stole from the pigeon detectives.
Time now for a drink in time, where the Moon Underwater will transport you through the very fabric of time to an occasion in the past where you had a drink and can relive. I've not found a good, succinct way of explaining that. And it's very wordy. And we've been doing it for quite a while now, and I'm struggling to work out exactly how to say it.
Yeah.
Because it's in my head, it's clear. But whenever I start talking, it just doesn't come out right.
That time you had a drink and it was good once.
Yeah.
But that's not nice.
It was it's nice something when you had a good, when you had a drink... But it's more about the occasion, but drink was at the occasion.
Yeah.
Pick something.
Yeah. No, I understand what you mean. And also, I think that is how I think of drinking.
Yeah.
You know, that is how I think of it. Like, but then when I thought about this, I thought, well, it's actually hard to think of an exact occasion where I was like really happy and then associated one specific drink with it. And ironically, I feel like what came out of it is like a really bad occasion.
Oh.
But at the same time, it was... tempered, it was sort of a lemon to lemonade sitch, because I discovered a drink I really liked. So I was on holiday in Ibiza for my 30th birthday with my now ex-boyfriend. You can see where this is going. And we were in this incredibly beautiful restaurant in the center of Ibiza with like, it was in the middle of a lemon grove and it was very beautiful. And I remember they had a mezcal bar, and I'd never had mezcal before. And I think I also had only just discovered Negronis on that holiday. And Negroni is now my favourite cocktail. And then yes. It was a mezcal Negroni. And it was just incredible. It was like smoky and bitter at the same time. And also, I think I was just so proud because it felt so grown up. And maybe because I just turned 30, I thought, this is what you drink at 30. Yeah. You drink mezcal Negroni. Gone are the days of Smirnoff Ice. I'm a woman now. And I was just really loving myself. But at the same time, having this blazing row with my boyfriend at the time, who I was just thoroughly unhappy with and wanted to leave. And so it was a weird combo of memories. Yeah. I really remember that mezcal Negroni. Yeah. And there's no bit of the negativity of the conversation which has tainted my love of that mezcal Negroni, but also remember the entire evening just being this car crash of a conversation about how a relationship was clearly ending.
But the Negroni got you through
but
it.
But the Negroni. Yeah.
Like a guardian angel of booze.
I drink it and I'm still full of joy.
This is the worst conversation I've ever had, but I'm still delighted because of this drink.
Yes, but my God, isn't it beautiful? And doesn't this taste amazing?
Yeah.
Turning point.
Yeah.
It's a turning point. You love a Negroni, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Big fan. And now I really want to have a mezcal Negroni.
Yeah. Oh, you've never had one?
No.
Highly recommend. I love a Negroni. It's like the holiday drink. You know, I think there's always that drink that you have when you get on holiday and you crack it open and then you're like, here we are, we're on holiday. I tell you one I did discover recently, another cocktail I really enjoyed. I went to Portugal, went to Lisbon on my own between Christmas and New Year. I was desperate to get away and I just thought, fuck it. And I booked the flights and I went the next day. Oh. And I stayed in Lisbon for 2 nights. And in my hotel, they do this cocktail. It's like Amarinha. It's basically almond liqueur, which is mixed with the juice of an entire lemon. So it's just lemon juice, almond liqueur, and it's incredible.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's something I associate with Portugal now. So yeah.
It's lovely Lisbon, isn't it? I was there, I did the Lisbon Marathon last year.
Okay, humble brag.
I didn't win.
Drop that in. I know how to run. Oh, God.
Badly.
Long distances. I'm in show.
But the problem is there's so many good bars
yeah.
and stuff like that. And if you've got to do a marathon, because I run. If you've got a marathon in a couple of days, you've got to, that's quite a good impression. If you've got to do a marathon, it's just horrible. Because we got there on the Thursday.
Quite enjoy it.
I go around going, there's literally nothing to do. Well, there is stuff to do, obviously, but nothing I want to do when everyone else is outside in the sun in this beautiful place.
Such nice cocktail bars.
Yeah.
Such nice. I love Lisbon. I think Lisbon is like still a little gem because it hasn't been properly discovered. Loads of French tourists, but like it's not, no offense to Americans, but it's like it's not a Florence. It's not a Rome. It's not a Paris. It's like not quite on the American tourist map yet. And it's incredibly beautiful, but also it's cool. Like it has a real Berlin vibe to it. Like loads of amazing restaurants, loads of like cool places to go out and have drinks, a real sort of student-y energy. It's not too expensive. Great time in Lisbon. Highly recommend.
Everyone says Lisbon is amazing. I really need to go. I might go this year.
And I went on my own. And you know, as a woman traveling on your own, sometimes it can be a bit.
Yeah.
But not one person hit on me. Not once. Oh. Not even Lisbon. Not once.
really hard to tell whether this is good or bad.
I'm not sure.
Which I was pleased and disgusted by. Yeah.
Not once.
once would have been okay.
Not even looking at me, funny.
Respectfully, once. I'm pleased or sorry that happened to you, depending on what the correct answer is.
I'll be a fucking guy, though.
It's now time to find out Daddy's dream pub companion, but that is only for those of you who invest in the Moon Underwater Patreon. If you want to find out how to do that, you can subscribe at moonunderpod.com. And for the rest of you, we'll be back after these advertisements.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more.
and it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
You are barred.
We've chosen, Tatty, what you want in your pub, but now you get to bar something from your pub, something that's not allowed in Tatty McLeod's Moon Underwater. What are you going to get rid of?
I mean, there's lots of different things, I suppose, I don't like in pubs. But, and I don't know why I've gone for this, but I just had this sort of like impulse. Very large groups of people.
Okay. Define very large.
Eight.
No, I think that's fine. I think that's fine because there.
It's just so precise.
If you walk into a pub, just and as you walk in, you realise there's a group of eight plus people who've just gone to the bar, and you're like, oh no.
It's not even about going to the bar; it's about dominating the space.
Well, and that.
In my mind, there's like 10 of them, and they've got gilets on.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've all got a big Sunday roast, so maybe there's a couple of prams blocking the door. Yeah. Sorry, I'm not saying you can't have children. I wouldn't say that.
No, you can say that. It's your unreasonable
thing. You can do what you want.
We've had people who've banned toddlers.
I just like how precise you were about what very large number is eight. Yeah, eight. I've got a very large number of peas on my roast today. Yeah.
Well, it's just, I think there's something about that. When you think about it, the space it's taking up in a pub, it can become a dominant force. And I say this as someone who's hosted a birthday party in a pub. So like, God knows I am part of the problem. But I think if we go back to what pubs are best used for in this country, I think that pubs, the positive thing about pubs is a sense of community, a place where you can go if you're lonely and you're on your own, the repetition of customers, the familiarity of the space and getting to know the people behind the bar. And I think that that's what pubs should be then dedicated towards. If you're on your own in a pub, and maybe because I've traveled a bit on my own, I'm conscious of this, and there is a group of eight people next to you, there's something about that which feels like invasive of your solitude.
Yeah.
It's like, it's too much of a contrast. I think four people is fine. I'll accept six. But eight.
Yeah. Seven? How are you feeling on seven?
There's an odd one out. We can take it. But I think generally it's nice that when you walk into a pub and it's like 2, 4, 3, 2, a couple of ones, that's nice.
Yeah. Yep.
That's nice. And I like there to be a bar where, or window seating bar, where if you're on your own, you can comfortably sit on your own.
Lovely.
That's nice.
I like a solo pub trip. Again, from travelling around and stuff like that, I quite like just sitting there and reading or something. Yeah.
And it's really funny how you realise when you do travel on your own, it's like my choice of place to go to won't just be dictated by, I read this article on this place, that place is supposed to be really nice. I will turn up, look at it and think, is this solo friendly? And a bit of that will be like, can I eat at the bar or can I eat without feeling like self-conscious. Yeah. And sometimes some spaces are really well set up for it and sometimes they're not. So I'd want to have a pub that was more hitting that objective than say, oh, let's meet up with my extended family. I mean, there are pubs that are really good for that, but that's not the kind of pub I'd want to have.
I wonder if the two big group thing, if whether it's a table. So like when you're splitting onto a second table, you know, you're trying to put two tables together. Maybe that's what's too much.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But also it's just really loud. You know when you're in a pub and you're trying to have a conversation with someone and the table next to you is just like so loud and they feel at liberty to be that loud because there's so many of them and they've got a big tab and they've turned it into a private party. Again, I had a birthday party in a pub. I'm really sorry. But from that experience, I could sense how annoying I was being. And I don't.
That's very self aware.
Yeah, and I don't want anyone else to be that annoying towards me.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, big groups of and very large groups, by which the answer is eight, are not allowed in Tatty's pub. Tatty, you're on tour. What's the tour about?
What's the tour about?
Well, no, is there a theme to it sort of thing?
Or
is
yeah, just... so I'm doing my comedy show, my stand-up comedy show called Fugue. So it gives it a bit of a clue. This is about essentially my experience growing up in France, but what it means to be French, what it means to be English. Lots of jokes comparing the two, but also a big dollop of my personal story, my relationship to being French and English. And for anyone really who's ever felt like they don't really belong somewhere, they sort of have a mix of cultural heritage. I think it's a show which really speaks to people who would recognise themselves in that category. Mm. But also funny at the same time. Do you know you describe it? It's about cultural homelessness, but also...
But hilarious.
Is at the same time.
We've already covered the good side of climate change, so we can happily do the good side of cultural homelessness. And whenever we have any comedian on here and they are on tour, I check they're playing Norwich. You are, so the tour has my seal of approval.
Wonderful. Sold out as well. It is sold out, Norwich.
And if people have enjoyed you on here, which I imagine they will have, how else can they get more of you? Because you do a lot of
social media stuff. I do. I'm on TikTok, if that doesn't make anyone listen to this vomit. I feel like it might, but I am on TikTok if you're a TikToker. And if not, I'm on Instagram, which is a little bit more general public friendly. My name is Tatty .McLeod. But if you put in Tatty McLeod, I should come up.
Your videos are excellent, by the way.
Yeah,
Thank you very much.
Really make you laugh.
Yeah.
Which is the purpose of them, comedy. Yeah. My brother's massive on TikTok. He's an English teacher.
Is he?
He's got 1.2 million followers teaching English language stuff.
God, now I feel inadequate.
Which you made him do it, didn't you?
I encouraged him.
You foresaw the future of TikTok in the early days.
Well, not really. It was just more so than...
Stop being so modest.
Robbie, just take it.
No, because that's then... He's done this. I've not done the videos. I don't want to take away from his glory.
Well, I remember you at the time saying, I keep telling him he needs to get on there and he won't do it. He won't do it.
Robbie,
do it.
He doesn't listen to this podcast. Yeah, just say
doesn't.
What you
he
want.
He doesn't. You're right, he doesn't.
Drink up, please. It's time.
We've got one final thing to do, Teddy, before you go, and that is name this magical pub. What are we going to call it?
I have gone with the Gemini Arms.
Ooh. Explain.
I'm a Gemini.
I guess.
I have arms.
I have arms.
Case closed.
Okay, so actually, just saying out loud again, I'm like, okay, really lovely, because it sounds like a hug, Gemini Arms. So that's nice in the theme of like... a pub being somewhere quite warm and friendly. Mm-hmm. Also, I always feel like I associate pubs with very masculine spaces.
Yep.
And I like the idea of creating a more sort of female-centric pub space. And I know there's a loads of women who love pubs and go to pubs, but we're talking about historically here.
Yeah.
And I want to make more of a female-centric pub space. So I thought, what better way to start that off by naming it after astrology?
Yep.
And I think that I would like to have a pub that's all like astrologically themed.
Oh.
Yeah. So, you know, it would be like Witchcraft Wednesdays.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Good.
Like pint and a palm read.
Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Like every full moon, we have like a fire pit in the beer garden.
Your Jostic bill is going to be outrageous. Yeah. Though,
my what bill?
Your Jostic bill, the incense and stuff like
that. Exactly. Yeah, it'd be wonderful. And then like every corner of the pub is like, there's like a big sundial on the floor and we kind of like theme it around like Aquarius season. There's special discounts if you're an Aquarius, you're just taking your passport.
Okay.
Like, you know,
Geminis get discount all year round?
Because
it's Gemini arms?
Yeah, why not?
Well, I'm Aries. I don't know anything about Aries. What do we get?
Aries is April, I think. What do you get?
That's correct.
That's actually my least favourite star sign, I'm going to go with nothing.
You get nothing. I'm a bard.
Yes.
Damn it.
Aries. Yes. Large groups and Aries.
Yeah, and we'll have
typical
to figure...
Typical Gemini, probably.
Yeah, and I think we'll have to do sort of like figuring out like which Mercury is in retrograde. And then maybe we'll have like, when people are like in the off season, like maybe we'll be like, oh, at the moment, like Virgos are quite aggy. Like like Virgos can't come in this month.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
Are there going to be many crystals in this place?
I feel like you're confounding too many things right now, and it's actually quite judgmental of the astrological community.
Is that very Aries?
Very Aries of you. But I did thought, I think, you know, it's not all about crystals, but if the toilets were made out of rose quartz, I think that might soothe some chakras.
Well, that is one of my favourite of the quartzes, so yeah. I think that's a terrific choice there, Tati. Tati, it's time for you to return to the other realm, but thank you so much for coming to join us here. Everyone, get tickets to the tour, follow her on the social medias, and we'll hopefully see you again in the future.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.